from you we can do nothing, so we depend on you.
Hello. Let's open our Bibles to Revelations 3 and 14. And while you're turning there, I just want to give a little intro to the book of Revelations here. This was John to the seven churches in Asia. And in Revelations 1:19, as you're turning there to Revelations 3:14, it says, "Therefore, write the things which you have seen," and God let him see things. He said, "and the things that will take place after these things." So we see that he saw some things that he saw, but then he knew things were coming. So the whole book of Revelations is unfolding things that we need to see in these end times, because we're definitely in the days of the end, aren't we? It's not the end. Don't be discouraged. It looks like it's changing. There's some things changing. But God, we still have to preach the gospel. And I want to encourage all the preachers out there, don't stop. I know it's a day that people are pulling out. They don't want to go. Their fear has been weaponized. Afraid of everything, afraid of this, afraid of that. And that's what the enemy wants. He wants to use fear, because when people get afraid, they don't rationalize, they don't think. And then all the propaganda that's going on, it's constantly wearing on you and make people afraid. But God says 365 times, do not fear. Don't be afraid what men can do unto you. So we've got to live in the fear of God. And we live in the fear of God, we're free. We're free. We're free from all these threats and all these things that are going on, like a lion just roaring, trying to wear us down. Well, that wasn't my message, but... these seven churches actually existed in the first century, the things that he saw. And also it represents the seven broad types of churches that can exist anytime in history, the things that are. And the one I want to focus on is the church of Laodicea. I've always kind of focused on that one. In Revelations 3:14, because he saw it then and we're seeing it now. And I want you to be encouraged. If you're a follower of the Lord and you're seeing a lot of things happen in your churches and you're discouraged, know that God told us these things would happen. And he said, do not let any man deceive you. I don't care if that's a pastor, if it's a priest, or if it's a mom or dad or your kids or whatever. You've got to know the word of God for yourself in these times. And here it says, unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Think of that. Whew. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot, and I wert thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am. Look at that big I am. I am rich and increased with goods. In the last 40 years, what have they taught in the churches? Prosperity. You're blessed. You're this, you're that. Instead of teaching people what the end times are, we just went to church and just got blessed and kind of got high on being blessed. And now we're facing reality of things that are really going on in the world. Watch out for the distractions of the news, because they'll always say, look over there. And it becomes a circus of what they're really doing. What that hidden hand is really trying to do in our governments. And we know we're going into global governance now. And even in that, we are not to be afraid. God warned us not to scare us. He warned us to prepare us. And we have been preparing for the last 10 years or so. We've been preparing because we're supposed to preach what's light, because the darkness is coming. So we do what we can do in the light. This is a time people are going to start searching. They're afraid. They're concerned, the uncertainty of times. It's a great time to let people know the Lord, and especially the backsliders. Some of them are coming home because they know things are not right in the natural, and they're waking up. So this is a good time. So we got to see the good things, what's going on here. But they said, I have need of nothing, and that's the arrogance that we taught years ago. We're just so blessed. We're kings, we're queens, we're this and that. And we walked around arrogantly. We don't need anything. Well, here's the church of the Laodicea. And many of us came out of that church. It was false doctrine. It was another gospel. It was another Jesus. But thank God he forgave us. And we can still preach. And there's still an open door to preach. There's censorship all around. But the end is not yet. The gospel will be preached throughout the ends of the world, and then the end time shall come. So God's still given us an open door, even though we have to be careful what we say on these, because there's a lot of censorship. And why is that happening? Because you can't come against the agenda. The agenda is going forth, and they don't want anyone that's coming against it. And remember, a lot of these things happened in Germany. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest now that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, and blind, and naked. And what that word naked there means, they had no presence of God. They had no glory. They were just walking around in their own self-righteousness. He said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve. And I've been praying that, Lord, give us eyes to see. Anoint our eyes with eye salve so we can see through the deception. We can see through the propaganda. We can see through the fear. And now we're going to have to see through division, because the enemy wants division. Divide and conquer. Divide and conquer. Get people all divided so they don't really see what's going on. And we have to not be ignorant of the devil's device. This is a device of the devil to divide us. There's going to be people in your life that aren't going to agree with your stance, but that doesn't mean you have to be divisive. And it's going to be very sad to see how there's so many carnal people that get so divisive rather than doing what the Bible says. This isn't a time to be fighting. It really isn't. It's time to be gathering, because things are... So ISAV, we need that ISAV. And as many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. Have you been getting rebuked and chastened? Well, that means God loves you. He's not going to let you alone. He's going to try to tell us where we need to repent. You missed it here. And repentance is a good word. It's a good thing. So be jealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Now remember, we've got to look beyond this natural world, because this world is getting darker, and evil men are waxing worse and worse. The Bible says it's going to get worse. But where is our home? Our home is in heaven. We're going to be sitting with him forever. It says he will grant to me, sit in my throne, even as I also overcame, and I am sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now turn to 1 Corinthians 3. And while you're turning there, I'm just going to tell you a little bit here about the church of Laodicea. What it means is the church of the lukewarm. Now remember, the enemy and Alice Bailey talked about this. I've talked to you a lot about Alice Bailey. Their plan was to go after the youth. They want to go after the youth. And what they want to do, just like they did in history, is get the youth. Go after the youth and turn them against their parents. So this represents the lukewarm church, the church of mixture. Mixture. Have you ever seen such a mixture? If you have found a preacher that preaches the truth, you have quite a jewel, because this is a day many people are trying to keep their mega churches open. They're trying to do a lot of motivational speaking and this and that. That's not what we need in this hour. We need warnings to prepare, not to be afraid, but to prepare and to see. Have eyes salve to see what the Lord is saying unto the churches. And when we see this church, the Laodicean church, we see that people don't want to come back to church. We see that people are divisive, just like in the book of Corinth, the Corinthian church, the Galatian church. These problems are not new, because people have people problems, and they always will, right? But this represents the lukewarm church, and I think we're seeing the apostasy. We're beginning to see the falling away, right? And the Laodicea here, it's lukewarm, but it's people's opinions. Well, it's my right. I want this and I want that. And we saw the invasion of the churches years ago, that they were starting to change the gospel into a social gospel. So this mixture here, the Greek word for Laodicea means people's opinions. And remember, it doesn't really matter what we think. It's a matter of what God says, and we agree with what he says. But the church of Laodicea is all about progressing. It's about what the people want. The people want to hear this. Let's tell the people what they want to hear. Let's tickle their ears. With an emphasis on people's rights or what they think they should be. The church has gotten totally into another realm. It's totally gotten into lukewarmness. But don't be disheartened by that. These things must come to pass. We can't stop what's coming, but we don't have to be deceived or discouraged by what's coming, because the Bible is coming alive to us. So in other words, running on the opinions and the ideas of men, following men. And as a result of following your favorite preacher, you can be deceived. Because we were taught to sit under these celebrity preachers, and that's part of the propaganda, is to get on television, to get in the media. This all has been planned for so long. I'm just amazed God's opening our eyes to it. It's a miracle in itself that we're coming out of this darkness. So thankful. But they were blind, and they ignored their warnings. People today want to stay in their happy little lives. They don't want to hear this or that. They don't want to hear any warnings. But you have to be warned. And remember, in Germany, they were mad at all the preachers because the preachers were telling them everything was fine, just agree with the state. Yeah. Well, we're seeing the same thing happening now. But there were some martyrs back then. We know some of them that stood up for the truth, and they were not popular then, and they won't be popular now. But we are here to serve the Lord and not to obey the opinions of men. So they were blind here in Laodicea. They ignored the warnings, and they became rich and prosperous, not persecuted. When a church is not persecuted, it doesn't really grow. Because if you're just fluffed and buffed and told how great you are and the church is popular and everybody, there's no real gospel being preached in that. Because the real true gospel says if they hated me, they're going to hate you too. It's not going to be a popular message. But they became rich and popular. They were not persecuted. And the result of the Laodicean church, where they were blind, they were lukewarm, they were lazy, and they backslid. So we want to come out of, and I've said this last week too, you can't fight the beast, you come out of her. You come out of the beast. You come out from amongst them. Everywhere you see the enemy is, just, I'm not going to participate in that. But they weren't persecuted, and to persecute means to harass or punish or vex. We are seeing people now being vexed and persecuted for their faith. And when you're persecuted, it causes injuries, grief, or afflictions to oppress because of religious beliefs. So here the Laodicean church was not persecuted. They were not really the church. The true church has always been persecuted for preaching the truth, because truth has never been popular. And you're not going to be famous by preaching the real true gospel. So we see a lot of these people now that they're being persecuted. Why? To deny the Christian faith. And this is the thing, we got to stand strong. Regardless of what comes, we know where we're going. We know where our home is. We know that if we're in Christ, we're free. Because fear now is a weapon. People are afraid of each other. They're afraid of this and afraid of that. And this has all been propaganda. I've watched it start for a year and a half. Propaganda, and I've watched people fall into the propaganda. I warned them about the propaganda, and they didn't listen because they didn't want to hear it. Well, who wants to hear it? But because we're listening to the Lord, we heard the warnings, and we're prepared, and we're bracing for the things that are coming. What is happening? Psalms 2 is a good description of what's going on in the world. We will get to Psalms, or 1 Corinthians. Did I miss it? Psalms 2 is a good description of what's going on in the world. What does it say? Why do the heathen rage? Verse 1 and 2, and the people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth, think about this, the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers to take counsel together against the Lord and his anointed. So what does this mean? The merchants of the earth, the rulers of the earth, they set themselves together. You could say the prime ministers, you could say the governors, you could say all these people. Oh, no, no way. There's no way there's such a conspiracy. Well, the Bible says there is. They conspired against Jesus. What is a conspiracy? It's a secret plan. That's all it is. It's a plan. Here is the plan. The merchants of the earth, all these people that are in authority, to take counsel together against the Lord and his anointed. What is it? It's a rebellion against God. And that's why we rest. The battle is the Lord's. Amen. It is not our battle. The battle is the Lord's, and we rejoice in the Lord because we know who wins. He didn't say it was not going to be a challenge and we're going to be tested, but we win. So it's a plan to eliminate God's people. Why? Because the Antichrist system wants to be worshipped, and we're seeing great steps and leaps into the framework of the beast system right now. Don't be afraid, and do not be threatened, and do not be intimidated by this roaring lion, because that's what he wants to do. He wants to scare us. He wants us to be threatened. He wants us to fear. And it's not a time to be afraid. It's a time to be faithful. Yep. It's a time to be faithful to what God's asked us to do. We don't have to be deceived by what's coming, because we have eye salve and we see. Now Judas, he decided to go the other way, didn't he? Greed. And many people, because of greed, it opens the door to another whole deception. That's why you can't serve money in this hour. You can't. You have to serve God or mammon, right? Well, let's look at 1 Corinthians 3. He said, "And brethren, could I not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ?" So you get saved and you're not automatically an adult. You grow and you should be having fruit in your life if you're really walking with the Lord and you're staying filled and you're reading the Bible on your own. Preachers definitely teach us some things, but they should be confirming to you also what the Lord is showing you. And so there's babies in Christ. And he said, "I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. Neither are you now able, for you are yet carnal." Carnal, flesh ruled, ruled by the flesh. When we pick up our cross, deny ourselves, we have to learn, we have to deny our flesh. Because if we give in to what the enemy wants in this hour, there's going to be nothing but division. Everybody is dividing. Families are dividing. Churches are dividing. Medical people are dividing. Everybody's dividing because somebody has this revelation, somebody else has that, and I have all this research, well, I have this, and they're fighting, right? And this is all by design. The enemy wants to divide and conquer. He's done it all the way through history, and he's trying to do it again. And unfortunately, it's in a lot of our nations that have never had anything like this before. This is a world government. We're going into world governance. So this is a new system being set into place, right? But he says, "You're carnal. For as there is among you envying and strife and divisions," and I'll pick this up next week. Strife and division shows, if you're walking in strife and division with people, you are carnal. You are walking after the flesh. You're not walking after the Spirit. Because when you walk in the Spirit, you want to protect the Lord's body within and without. Yeah. Do you know that? One of the things God hates is division. Yeah. He hates it amongst his brethren. So there's a price to pay if you don't guard what God's doing on the earth and you give place to the devil, right? Strife and division. It's not new. It's always been. It'll always be here, but it doesn't have to be us. Yeah. Strife and division. Are you not carnal and you're walking as a mere man? Why? Because if we are to follow the Lord, we got to walk in love, put our flesh down. And I've tried to walk in this for years and years and years, and it's really hard when you have two groups of people that fight and then you try to get them together to walk in love. Because they want to stay divided. They want to stay in their opinions. But in this end times, we got to let that flesh stuff go. Because you're going to need your brothers and sisters in Christ. This, and the devil wants you to divide against them. And it's a very cunning plan of the enemy to divide and conquer families. On and on and on. So we'll get into this more later. But we're not supposed to glory in men in verse 21. That's just a good one to close. So why is all this rebellion against God and his followers? Why is it? Because John 3, 19, 21. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men loved what? Darkness. This is the thing. If you want to have a friendship, it's going to be work. But if you want to have your way all the time, then you're going to lose friends. Because you know what? You all have to bend and give in. But he said, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. But he that doeth truth comes to the light and his deeds may be manifested. This is a day we do not want to be divided against, even our family members that don't agree with us. Try to find a place that you can't agree on. I talk to certain people and I know where not to go. I know what not to talk about because I know that they have a different opinion, but that doesn't mean I break fellowship with them. Right. But we just can't have fellowship like we with someone that would agree with us. So you got to pick your battles. So here's an example of some of the things that are happening now. It's really, really watch your children. Watch your grandchildren in this hour. The public system is going into another realm of darkness. Yeah. And a quote from a humanist, progressive education will use the school and systems to promote humanism. The classroom must and will become the arena of conflict between the old and the new, the rotting corpse of Christianity, and the new faith of humanism. Still quoting, we've been accused, talking about the humanists, Human Manifesto, of, and I'm just quoting them, this is not hate, we've been accused of overthrowing the tradition Christian family. They are right. This is exactly what we intended to do, quote unquote. So, back to the church of the end times church, we see that there's truth and error. And sometimes, you know, there's preaching, people preach the truth and then they preach the error. And the humanism is really coming in right now in a lot of our churches. It's a matter of, I can do all things, but they forget through Christ. It's about Christ and it's not about you. And now we have narcissism, narcissistic teachers where it's just all about them. You come to church to watch their show. How did that happen? I thought this was about Jesus. But the Laodicean church will be full of division. We have to be the remnant. We have to come out from amongst them. We're not going to agree. There's things we disagree on. But if you're carrying a spirit of division, you're going to have to repent. Eventually, it might not be now, but there will be coming a time. We are to walk in love as far as it is possible with you. And sometimes I found out, you know what, it's not possible. Some people refuse. They just refuse to make sense. They refuse to come to peace. They just refuse to put things out in the open. Well, that's on them. But the Laodicean church, these lukewarm people, you're going to see it all the time. Division, confusion, chaos, division, confusion, going back into the world, because most of them don't have a good foundation. They don't have a good foundation. What happens when the storms come? A house divided against itself cannot stand. So the enemy wants to divide Christian against Christian, mothers, fathers against their children. This is what he wants. He wants this new group of young people to attack their Christian parents. And it's happening in schools. And send your kids to college and watch how they come back. Divisions and splits have pegged the church for centuries. This is not new, and guess what? It's not going away. There is a devil loose. So the church of Corinth was divided just about everything. In 1 Corinthians 3, which you read, who was the best preacher? I follow this one. I follow that one. I follow this one. Right away, you know that that's a baby. That's a baby in the Lord because they're following men. When we start growing up, we start saying, this is what the Bible says. I'll listen to them. But if they disagree with what the word says, I'm not listening to them, right? But when you're young, you don't know how to rightly divide. You don't know. So you look to some of these teachers that we thought were real. We thought they had the truth. Well, thank God for finding out, having eyes to have to see. If our hearts are right, God knows our hearts are right. But here they were gossiping, backbiting, fighting, and they even were taking people to court in the Corinthians church. And Paul rebukes him in 1 Corinthians 11:30. He says, this is why many are weak and ill and some have died. Why they didn't judge and examine themselves. We need to examine ourselves. Then this is kind of a heavy thing. But in the days we're coming into, if people don't agree with us, let them go to their own free will. God has given man a free will to choose. And you have to let people choose. Some things happened this week that I wasn't happy with, but I just thought I'm not going to let it bother me. It's not my choice. That's their choice. We have to learn to let people make their own choices because they will also have their consequences, and we will have ours. So we have to judge ourselves, examine ourselves, and because they didn't, many were weak and sickly among them, and many died because they didn't judge themselves, so the devil came in and attacked them. So keep our heart right. That's always been my goal. But here in the church of Galatia, Paul wrote to them, to love their neighbor as yourself. And he, Galatians 5:14, he talks about the works of the flesh. And we'll get more into this next week. Strife, jealousy, divisions. That's of the flesh. That's not of the spirit. That's not walking. And it is not easy when you meet somebody. Have you ever met somebody you love them until you disagree with them? And then all of a sudden you're out. It's like you have to agree with each. Some people are amazing when they don't get their way. It's like a child 2-year-old tantrum. So what do you do with those people? Well, you try the best you can, but sometimes you have to let them go. Love one another, forgive one another, be kind, be patient with one another. We see right now many people's love growing cold. And they're growing cold because they're attached to the world. And they don't want to lose the things of the world. But there's a separation taking place as brother is betraying brother. We're seeing this happening everywhere. In this timeline period, a time of serious betrayal of one another and hatred of one another will occur. And I think this is why it's a time of sorrows. And I don't think it's the end. We're just getting started with this sorrow stuff. I've been trying to warn you that, because I've seen a lot of their documents, and trust me, it's not the end. And don't be afraid. A time of sorrow, betrayal of one another, hatred of one another will occur. The Bible says it, so it's true. Lawlessness will abound, and the love of many will grow cold. Not all. Doesn't say the love of everybody's going to grow cold. And what does that mean, waxing by degrees? People that used to really be for the Lord now are just kind of take it or leave it. I'm so discouraged with the church. I'm so discouraged with the pastor. That's why you have to keep your own walk with the Lord, because the church of Laodicea was the end church, the end time church. And this is what we're going to see rising. And we can't get discouraged by that. We just have to know this is all part of what God told us was going to come. They're blind. They think they see. They don't think there's anything wrong. They don't have the glory on them. They don't have the presence of God on them, but they have a strong opinion. That's Laodicea. That's the church of Laodicea. Many will grow cold, and it says false prophets will arise. Are we seeing that?
Yes.
Absolutely. So we should say, keep your eyes looking up, because God, he's coming. Jesus is coming, and we definitely do not want to be deceived. And to be deceived, we have to look at hard things. To not be deceived, we have to look at hard truth. Some people don't want to look at hard truth. Okay, so we came out of wrong doctrines. Face that hard truth. Do your work. I had to do a lot of work to come out of some of these movements because everybody I knew was in them, and I was going down the with them, and then all of a sudden I started seeing. And I think one of the major things that happened to me was when one of my best friends was dying of cancer, and all these Christians came in and condemned her and said, you don't have enough faith. And I just knew that wasn't right. She was brokenhearted. She felt like, God, they came and they just discouraged me, condemned me. And she said, I feel like the worst sinner in the world. And of all the people I know, she was probably the most anointed woman I've ever met to this day. And she wanted heaven. She loved heaven and all that. But people were so mean to her. And that turned me. I just thought, this is not God. This isn't love. This message isn't right. And I saw a lot of other people die, so-called in faith, without getting help. And I just said, this isn't right. So I had to find my way back to the simplicity, and some of you might have to do the same thing, the simplicity that's in Christ. Because the end times, it says, the main thing he's preparing us for, warning us of, deception. D is for deception. Now here's another thing, and I'm kind of winding down here, but if one organ in your body gets unhealthy and shut down, the other organs are affected. We are to preach the word and protect his body, his true church, from attacks within and without. You don't want to destroy something God is doing, right? If you have to leave someplace, don't attack it. Just go. Go quietly. I had to do that myself years ago. I didn't want anybody to get pulled out with me. I didn't quite understand the things that I knew were not being taught right, but I didn't go. And there was a lot of things I could have said, but I didn't. I didn't. Maybe to a fault I didn't, but I didn't want to cause division, because we have to watch, and that's what I'm going to talk about next week, is gossip. There's a whole lot of stuff God says about gossip. It only takes one weak link in the chain of your group for division. It takes one weak person for the enemy to use to destroy something. He's always done it. And I remember studying on witchcraft and stuff in the church, and these people that got saved that were witches said, our assignment was to go destroy that church. And they'd make up lies and stuff about the pastor or the youth group. And trust me, you don't have to make up lies. There's enough stuff going on. But these were, and that's part of this end time deception too. I'm reading a lot. I'm connected to a lot of different religious groups just to see what's going on. It's like dominoes. All the leaders that they set up, they're bringing them down. They're saying about this scandal and that. Why is all that? To get your eyes to fall away from Christ. If they fall, just say, well, you know, it's man. It's not going to affect me because I love Jesus and he never sinned. So keep your eyes on Jesus in the midst of this Laodicean shaking. We're going to see a lot. Keep your eyes on the Lord and try to stay out of a spirit of division, because it only takes one link in the chain of your group to bring division. The divide and conquer strategy can destroy your family. You can have one member in your family that's going to just gossip about you, talk bad about you. One person on your team, one person on your church, your company, and even in nations. Divide and conquer is a real thing, and the devil loves it. He always is behind division. God is not behind the spirit. Sometimes God divides. There's a healthy division, and the truth will divide when God speaks truth, but they move away from the truth. But this is demonic. This is demonic, and we all know the difference. Jesus was opposed by religious leaders and governors and political leaders and even one of his own disciples. After all, he was crucified. He was there and they killed him. The people either followed him or rejected him. Jesus wouldn't make it today in churches. He wouldn't make it because he would tell them, pick up your cross. They don't want to pick up anything heavy. You know, I don't want to pick up a cross. I don't want to suffer. I don't want to have persecution. I don't want to go through anything. And this is why my heart goes out to leaders, because people have no idea how much a leader goes through just to preach every week. And I'm talking to you out there. I know you go through things and don't want people to know, but God sees, and he's going to reward. He's going to reward. There's a day of rewarding. So just know you have to keep your eyes on him. So in this time period, a time of sorrows, betraying one another, attacks from within and without, it only takes one person. Remember, the divide and conquer strategy can destroy your family. And anything you want to build, the enemy just takes one person to bring it down. So today, Jesus wouldn't make it in the church. Divide and conquer, what is it? And I wanted to do a whole message on that, but I wanted to give some intro about the Laodicean church. But divide and conquer is a military, an economic, and mathematical term. Its definition is a method to gain or keep power from another one. Divide people over differences, and they're much easier to control or overcome. Now look at our nation today. Division, division, division. Who's behind this division? And even this Afghanistan thing, what's really going on there? Don't you think it's suspicious? Yes. What's really going on that our focus is supposed to be over on different circuses? Yes. And I've learned not to trust propaganda, because I know what propaganda does, and I know it's a psychology to use to manipulate people through fear. People are afraid to see each other. People are afraid to touch, to hug. All these lies going through, and a lot of propaganda, we haven't seen anything yet. This fall is coming, and I know something else is coming. Keep our eyes on Jesus, and don't be afraid. Use wisdom, of course. But what they're doing is weaponized fear. Weaponized fear to control the masses. And we saw it come in. Divide over differences, and if that doesn't work, we'll divide you over race. We'll divide you over gender. Divide, divide, divide. Divide, divide, divide. Why? Get you in smaller groups so they can control these. Because if you realized who the enemy was, you'd realize, I can't fight against my neighbor. We got to join. We got to see where this attack is really coming. So, the enemy wants to keep our eyes on each other and not the real enemy. Your real enemy. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. The enemy is the devil. And the battle is the Lord's, right? So in closing, the author of The Brave New World, Huxley, he lived in 1894 and 1943. He outlined steps towards social transformation. Our world is being changed. The old world will never go back to the old world. I've tried to prepare you for the new world order, and I wasn't prepared myself because we have no idea how much change is really happening. But some of these people were insiders, and they knew what was coming. Like that Dr. Richard Day. A lot of his stuff I put out, Dr. Richard Day, he said there's going to be a time, and this was way back in the 60s, that you won't be able to travel. Well, are we seeing that now? But the author of The Brave New World, and that's what a lot of them are saying, we're in a brave new world now. He said, rewrite history to discredit nationalism and promote globalism. Did you know now you are global citizens? It's no longer just America. You're a global citizen. So they got to tear down every country because this is part of the new world. And rewrite history to discredit nationalism and promote globalism. Teach thinking skills based on feeling and experience, not facts and reason. I mean, even since this thing came in a year and a half ago, whatever, reason has gone out the window. People don't even have common sense. It just doesn't even make sense. And then they doublespeak, talk about chaos and confusion, and this is all part of it. Teach thinking skills, and then you run into someone that just vomits the news to you. So I can tell what channel you've been watching. Because they're so brainwashed. They're programmed by this propaganda, and their life is changing because of it. We're not supposed to be moved by this propaganda. This is the spirit of the world. The shocking part to me is how many Christians are falling for it. What else did he say? Encourage loyalty to peers and teachers, not family and churches. The enemy wants to divide and conquer families and churches. Yep. Immerse students in global beliefs and values. Now the teenagers are learning about globalism. The schools and the colleges have been invaded. Condition the students to serve a greater whole. Do you hear now how many times you're for the greater good? For the greater good. Totalitarianism states, big government and big businesses merge through corporate fascism. And what is that? Interesting. Systems of rewards and punishments. Yep. You're rewarded if you do what they say, and you're punished if you don't. This is totalitarianism. And we are about to step in to some real punishments if we don't do what they say. And again, don't be afraid. Don't be moved. Obey God. And having done all to do, stand. Stand. Amen. Amen. In closing, it says, be watchful, Revelation 3:2, again, to another church, the church of Sardis. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, Revelation 3:2. You're going to be attacked. Your relationships, your families are going to be attacked. There's nothing you can do when somebody else wants to give place to the devil to destroy you. What do you do? Strengthen the things that remain. And don't let them die. We may be able to bring some things back to life, but we need to certainly concentrate what is left and protect it. Amen. But he told them to do. You're going to get attacked in your family, your kids, or maybe something's going to happen here. What do you do? Do the best you can to protect what God's given you. And we have to be thankful for what we have left, because these attacks are ruthless. We're starting to enter warfare. This is spiritual warfare. And it's like one attack after another, after another, and after another. And that's why we have to make sure that our eyes are on the Lord and not men. And if they fall to the right, if they fall to the left, know that he prepared us that this was going to happen. And don't be deceived by it. Well, if they can't walk with God, I can't either. You don't know what their foundation is. Keep your eyes on Jesus. We have to repent for following men. We love friends. We love that. But if they choose not to honor you anymore, if they choose to discard you and discredit you, what are you going to do? Don't chase after them. Strengthen what remains. Amen. Be encouraged in this day, because the enemy wants to divide and conquer, but we're not going to play. Amen. Father, we thank you keeping us eyes to see, helping us be prepared, watchful. We're not asleep. We want to have eyes to see what the enemy's doing and not to gloat on what he's doing, but that we won't fall deception to it. So, Father, strengthen us in difficult times. Strengthen us. Fill us with your joy, with your peace. We thank you, Lord. We have peace and no fear. We refuse to be following the spirit of fear that the enemy is trying to threaten people and to scare them, that we walk with you. And because we walk with you, we're free. There's a freedom and a peace in you. And we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
I just want to announce a couple of things just to say that, because someone has been saying that in different countries the links don't work, and I want to make sure that I say this so that you get a pen and you can write this down. Living in His Presence Church, I'm going to give you the P.O. box first. So grab a pen, pause me. Living in His Presence Church, 13500 Grove Drive, P.O. Box 1889, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. I love letters. We're having a drought. Send me more letters, please. Living in His Presence Church, 13500 Grove Drive, P.O. Box 1889, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Let me know what's going on in your country, in your part of the world. If you're going through a division with your family or something that's been hurtful, share that too. I read everything. And then if you can't find things, always go to livinginhispresence.org. Living in His Presence, presence.org, and you can always find us there once a week. And then if you want to write me an email, info, just info at lihpc.org, and I get them and I will read them. Info, info at lihpc.org. And I want to thank all the subscribers and all the people that help us and give and supporters with Stripe or PayPal. We couldn't do it without you. We've been under attack, and God's faithful. But we have been going through a lot of attacks, and think it not strange, because we don't want to compromise. And the people that want to compromise can leave, but we want to stay true to what God's asked us to do. And every one of us have to do that. We have to stay true to what God's asking us to do. That doesn't mean everybody can walk with you. Doesn't mean everybody's going to agree with you. But we don't carry around a spirit of division. If they want to divide, that's on them, right? So that's the same thing. I know it's happening worldwide, and it's happening in your families. It's happening everywhere we go. I was talking to someone that was on the school board, and they just said the division is terrible. And this is what they want. They want division, divide and conquer, get you all split up in groups, and you're a lot easier to bring in the new agenda a lot faster. So we just don't play that. And we can push some of this back a little bit. Eventually, you know, there is going to be a new world order, and they are in their steps of it, the global governance. It's happening. But in the midst of it, God said He's going to be here. He's going to strengthen us. He's going to help us. And He'll always give us people. I remember Mary and Elizabeth, when they both were assigned to do something, that God brought them together, and John the Baptist leaped in Mary's womb, Elizabeth's womb, and when Jesus was in Mary's womb. Yeah, I got to straighten that one out. But they all love to laugh at my mistakes. But the point is that God will give you somebody. And make sure that you're ready to have someone else come into your life when someone else leaves or exits. God always got someplace else, right? So thank you, all your subscribers and your supporters. I couldn't do it without you. And thank God for next week. We're going to preach on gossip and division and move forward. Amen?
Amen.
All right.
If you would like to see more messages from Roberta on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to her YouTube channel, Roberta Morrison. Hit the bell button to be notified of new messages from her, and be sure to check out her YouTube playlists for other messages that interest you. Go to the livinginhispresence.org website page and click on the Messages button on the top center to go see her messages. There are free audio downloads of the messages available also. We are viewer-supported. On the main webpage at the top right is a Give button. Thank you for watching, and see you next time.
Jesus, I love you. Apart from you, we can do nothing, so we depend.